This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Moving along swiftly, every week there are stories that dominate the headlines, spark debate around the dinner tables, and shape the future of South Africa. From politics to public policy to sport, corruption and service delivery, there's always plenty to unpack here in South Africa. And this week is absolutely no different. The anti-illegal immigration March to March movement says it won't stop there, with organizers now planning demonstrations every Thursday until they see action from the government. The newly established Makhanda Commission inquiry has begun attracting national attention as South Africans look for accountability and answers. And on a lighter note, the FIFA Soccer World Cup continues to deliver thrills, heartbreak, and a few major surprises as knockout stages have started to gather momentum. We are joined on the line. I'm very excited to be chatting to him, Ziyanda Nzimande, who is the South African neuroscientist, political analyst and independent researcher. Good afternoon, Ziyanda. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, good. Ziyanda, I think your family could be very proud of you. You've got quite an awesome CV. We're a neuroscientist, political analyst, and independent researcher. So clearly you're doing something right. But moving...
I'm trying.
You're doing great, man. Well done. So I just want to chat to you quickly about the March on March that took place earlier this week on Tuesday. Did it go, I wouldn't say it did go according to plan, because you got to see it from whose angle, but was it, did it match up to what we were expecting, or was it a little bit not what we had all anticipated?
Well, I think firstly we need to look at the perspective I'm answering the question from.
Right,
first.
Good.
I'd say March in March, in its entirety, wanted to host an event to showcase how illegal immigration is a problem in South Africa. And they have their own narratives going in different directions as to how individually the leaders between them wanted the whole event to go. I want to look at it from the South African's perspective, right? If we take a march against illegal immigration and we now bastardize illegal immigrants or people who are here illegally, I think we are at fault as South Africans, because we need to look at how did all these illegal things happen in the first place. We are pointing the finger at the wrong person. We should be pointing the finger at the state. If we didn't have porous borders, or if we didn't have borders that weren't as strong, then we would be going through, or we'd be having a completely different conversation. But now the fact that we have porous borders and we have a lot of people that are undocumented in this country, it leads us to think that it's an issue of illegal immigration. Whereas, no, it's an issue of border security. Our borders just need to tighten up. So in terms of the march in itself, the leaders have their own conclusions as to how they think it went. But me personally, as a South African, I think we're focusing our attention on the wrong thing. We need to be looking at the state and not what the state has produced.
So
that, you get what I'm trying to say.
That's interesting. Do you anticipate any action from the state? Or is there going to be any changes, any policy changes, any new appointments to certain roles in order to make sure that the borders are less porous, that people are documented better, and people who aren't supposed to be here can be deported?
I think this should have given the state a wake-up call.
Yeah.
To say that there's a lot of frustration between the normal South African on a day-to-day basis as to what they can deal with and what they can't deal with. And I think South Africans have shown their frustration by taking to the streets. However, me knowing the history of South Africa, this is not how they usually respond in terms of building policy. So we need a noisemaker in a big room, in a very small room, sorry. Like, for example, in one of those parliamentary committee meetings, when they're discussing policy at the largest level, that's the change that we need. So as much as we can show our frustration, our government somehow, at the end of the day, ends up doing its own thing. So we need more noise, but we need it in those smaller rooms that make a bigger impact.
Can I ask, if you were in that position to you know, enforce some sort of change, like, is there one or two or three things that you would like to see being done? Ziyanda?
Well, the first thing I would like to see is the documentation of everyone in South Africa.
Right.
So that's the first thing I would like to see. Let's document everyone.
Good.
Let's know who is in our country and what they are here to do.
Good start.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing I would do is actually put in a policy that says, if you're a foreign national, there's a specific reason you're here. Tell us why. Give us, because it's already there. It's just not implemented. So I would put in a policy for implementation. that should this not be implemented, there should be some sort of pushback that the state gets from the people. And then the third thing I would do is just monitor the whole sector, because I think this is a global problem. It's not just an African problem or an Asian problem,
right,
or an American
good point.
Problem.
Good
it's
point.
A global problem. Immigration and emigration happen all over the world. So we need to have policies in general that can answer these questions.
So let's put that to aside for a second and move on to some other topics and news-making stories that have come across our desks in the last few days. It feels like a lifetime ago, but Bafana Bafana on Sunday night did play against Canada. We were knocked out. I wanted just to get your opinion of how you thought, if we know it wasn't the best performance. However, we did get to a stage in the competition that we have never got to before. Should we still be proud, and how can we build on this to make sure that we're there at every single AFCON, every single World Cup going forward?
Well, firstly, we need to have a huge congratulations to the boys. I think they pulled out something we had never seen before in South Africa's history. We've only ever been in two World Cups. One, we only qualified for because we hosted. And two, sure. This one, we qualified because of our own merit.
Right.
So firstly, I'd say well done to the boys for even making it to the World Cup. There's
a lot of
countries that were cut out. The second point I would say is we need to fix South African Football Association. SAFA is struggling to understand what the South African talent pool has to offer. I think we live in the past where we have this ideology that older and more mature players are the ones that are going to win the World Cup for us. Where now we're in a different era of football. Football has transitioned into now the younger players are starting to take the front foot and actually become more expressive on the field. So I think we need to have that left in our brain. I can't say that we performed badly, but we could have done much, much better, judging from our individual club performances. If you look at Orlando Pirates achieving at the highest level, if you look at Mamelodi Sundowns achieving at the highest level, what stopped us as a whole country putting all of that together to achieving at the highest level in the World Cup? I think possibly we could have made it to a round of 16, possibly a quarterfinal.
Wow.
But looking at how everything panned out, I think it's for the best, because South Africa now can go back to the drawing board and say, what did we get wrong and what can we fix?
It's interesting you talk about the balance between youth and experience. And we see teams like Portugal with Ronaldo in his 40s. You get Messi from Argentina, who's in his late 30s. Luka Modric from Croatia is also, I think, over 40. And they kind of like anchoring their teams. But, you know, you do need to have that sprinkling of youth around you to make sure that you got a good pipeline of talent coming through. So I just want to maybe ask you what 100%. Your predictions are for the rest of the tournament. I know there's been a few upsets. I know last night, even though it was touch and go at some point, the favourites did get through. Do you have any predictions from your side?
Well, my predictions are very biased because I love the Spanish team.
Interesting, okay.
Leaving my bias aside, I think France is taking this World Cup through and through with a landslide. No one will give them any fighting competition unless they come across an Argentina, a Portugal or a Spain. If they don't, France has taken this World Cup without question.
And Mbappe to carry on his scoring spree.
Mbappe is going to score as many goals as he possibly can. I mean, every single goal, minimum two. Every single game, minimum two goals.
Wow.
That is ridiculous.
He's been in outstanding form, and I think long may it continue for him. Let's maybe put sport to one side and touch on the McCandler Commission. I mean, it's kind of like, is it still happening? What's going on? What's been the latest developments there?
I mean, firstly, the Madlanga Commission, we need to congratulate these judges at the work that they are doing, exposing the filth that is within the state in South Africa that we've all have known through rumors. But now that we're finally seeing it in our face, it's bringing us to light as the South Africans who put these people in power, how dirty and how actually evil our state has come to be so corrupted. So, one, the Madlanga Commission is doing an incredible job. Two, I fear for some of the witnesses who come to the Madlanga Commission. Because we live in a country where becoming a whistleblower puts you in a specific light. You become in danger.
Right.
And the Madlanga Commission, in my opinion, is starting to put more people's lives in danger. Like, for example, this week we heard about the attempt on General Khan's life.
Sure.
Whether or not he's corrupt or not corrupt, the fact that his name was mentioned throughout this whole process put him at risk of something like that happening. So I think in South Africa, we also need to wake up and smell the roses, that we can't just have an open commission like that when it comes to the lives of people. But I think all in all, they're doing incredible work. And I say, continue going, don't stop.
It's interesting. So you're saying that having it televised and publicized and having such an open forum for this commission has put a lot of people's lives at risk and actually has been doing a little bit of a disservice.
100%, because someone can go and take platform and spew misinformation, sure, for example. So now that person and their family is going to be treated a specific way by their community. Someone could go there and speak the full truth about your family. You're still going to be treated a specific way by the community, whereas the law should be taking its own journey with you and people shouldn't really be involved. So I think that's my only critique of the Madlanga Commission. I think some of the things shouldn't fully be on TV, because we live in a very dangerous country and some people really retaliate to their names being mentioned or their companies being mentioned. So this is something I say they should be wary of. But outside of that, incredible work.
So I wanted to ask you, I know we've spoken about a few topics, not always the most positive topics, but I just want to ask you just for your opinion, any feel-good stories, anything we as South Africans should be proud of right now? I know we touched on the soccer, but is there anything else out there that we should really be proud of as South Africans and that we should be knowing about?
Well, I can say this, since I do come from the University of Witwatersrand, Wits was named the number one institution in Africa. Amazing. So I think as South Africans, that is something we really do need to be proud of, because there are a lot of universities in Africa that produce immense amounts of incredible work, and Wits was named number one. So I'd say, one, from a research standpoint and from an academic standpoint, South Africa's not doing too bad. And yeah, I'd say that would be my only main focus, because it's the only thing in my mind.
Well, it does sound as though that Wits definitely did give you the edge. Ziyanda Mzimande, it's been an absolute pleasure and privilege talking to you. South African neuroscientist, political analyst, and independent researcher. You are a wealth of information, and I cannot wait to speak to you again on so many different topics, hopefully a lot more positive ones and not so many, I wouldn't say scary ones, but ones that make you think and have some sort of doubt. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. We really appreciate it, and you have become a really great friend of Chai FM.